Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone.
Good morning, folks. Mike Cosentino here, Democratic Perspective. We're going to be talking to Terry Goddard this morning. This is actually a thrill for me to do this interview. Terry's been a hero of mine for a long time. Terry Goddard's a name well known in Arizona. Samuel Pearson Goddard III was born in 1947, and so we're going to give away his age here at the ripe old age of 71. But this is a long-serving attorney general, and some of us feel one of the best that we had. His political career, he went to ASU. He's got some Harvard names in his resume here, and as an attorney, his time as attorney general, his time as mayor of Phoenix from 84 to for 6 or 8 years, and also listed in his credits, which I want to mention, believe it or not, is the Central Arizona Water Conservation District. Anybody that's been involved in water and water law in Arizona is kind of stands off from the crowd a little bit. actually, I asked Bruce Babbitt for that matter. Go ahead, Terry. Good morning.
As a target, good morning, Mike. It's a pleasure to be in Sedona, at least virtually, and it is hopefully we can air some very important topics this morning.
Yes, we are going to talk about some what I consider is maybe some the most important topic, and that's money, dirty money in politics, dark money in politics that goes by both names. And your, I must as well just get right into it, Terry. Your campaign, your great campaign to change the Arizona Constitution, to make a simple amendment to the Arizona Constitution to simply identify where political contributions come from over $2,500. Is it that simple?
Mike, it really is. I mean, the proposition that people are carrying right now with the intention of getting enough signatures to put it on the ballot in November so that Arizona voters will have a chance to make the final decision simply says Arizona citizens have the right to know the original source of all contributions seeking to influence an Arizona election. And right now, we don't. Right now, millions of dollars are spent on political campaigns in Arizona, very successfully, by the way, to elect people, and we have no idea where that money originates, where it comes from. It goes through a bewildering number of intermediaries, most of whom have sort of nonsense names, feel-good names, like Citizens for Better Everything.
Yeah.
I'm making that up. I don't think there's one that actually is that particular name. But that's the kind of organizations that they use to literally launder the money so that you and I will not know who it is that's trying to influence our vote.
Well, that's it. I want to say right here that you can go to the Arizona Secretary of State's website, and I want to mention this, the smokescreen, as far as I'm concerned, that the Republican Secretary of State of Arizona has up, where she's touting that you can go to the website and find out the groups that are contributing to Arizona campaigns. But, you know, it's not the groups that we are necessarily interested in, as you just pointed out. They have all these feel-good names, like, you know, the Organization for Puppies and Children, they have nothing. But we want to know the individuals. We want to know who is behind it, which Koch brother, which Sheldon Adelson, which NRA executive is contributing to Arizona campaigns, and
which corporation that actually has a vested interest in the result, who sees a bottom line improvement for their shareholders if a particular candidate gets elected. They see politics today as an investment, and frankly, they're trying to. They don't want to be known. They don't want their their manipulative efforts to be on the front page, heaven forbid.
Well, that's
there might
it. There
be a reaction
is.
Against that. They want to be secret and hide behind those special phony names. And let me give a bit of a plug to Michelle Reagan. I think the Secretary of State has tried as much as she can to tell what the sources are. The new website is helpful, but only as to those corporations and individuals who Arizona law requires to disclose. And there's a whole category, and it's literally tens of millions of dollars of contributions that Arizona allows to hide. They never file as a political campaign. They never have any legal involvement in the Arizona system. And as a result, they will never show up until we change the law on the Secretary of State's website.
Well, thanks for clearing that up. And you're right. Maybe I was a little unfair to Michelle Reagan, but...
No, I think she's trying within the context of the law, but the law is deficient. Arizona's legislature has done more than any other in the country to make it easy to hide your political contributions. Now, you and I, when we contribute to a candidate, and this is true of I would say, 99.8% perhaps of all the contributors in Arizona, if we give over $50, we've got to give a full disclosure. We've got to say what our address is. We've got to say who our employer is, or retired if we're retired. But billionaires and major corporations who use these legal artifices to try to hide their contributions, they don't have to say anything. And I think that is a paramount irony. It's wrong. Sauce for the goose should be sauce for the gander. And all of those who seek to influence our vote ought to be do it in public and with full disclosure.
And it's a good campaign, and it's a necessary campaign. And I want to back up a little bit.
Let's go back to the definition of dark money. I think we sort of started in the middle.
Yeah, that's the story of my life, and that's why I'm such a great broadcaster here in Sedona, Arizona. We're talking to Terry Goddard, and we're talking about his campaign to amend the Arizona Constitution regarding dark money, regarding individuals who contribute to Arizona campaigns. We want to know who they are. And so let's talk about dark money and dirty money.
This is essentially, and it's been around a lot longer than I certainly knew that it was a phenomenon, where major contributors didn't want anybody to know that their fingerprints were on a particular advertisement or a particular political movement, so that they used some very elaborate procedures that allowed them to do it in secret. And, you know, I used to be the attorney general. I used to be the prosecutor defending Arizona. And a big part of my practice, a big part of what we were doing at the attorney general's office was going after money launderers. These are the drug cartel operatives who have millions of dollars of illegal profits that they're trying to either turn into what they call clean money within the U.S. Economy or trying to smuggle across the border to their bank accounts in Mexico. I know how it's done. I've taken and put people in jail for doing this. And that is exactly what the dark money operatives are doing right now, not to hide illegal money. It's perfectly legal. I made to emphasize that. But to hide inquiry, to hide from the searching light of the media or of any individual, any voter who wants to know who's really behind a particular ad. That's what they're trying to conceal. And so that's what dark money means. It means the efforts to control your vote without fessing up to who exactly was the original source of the cash, of the money.
Well, that's it. And there's nothing in my mind that's more American than knowing who's behind a candidate or a proposition or a cause. This is, and the ways of hiding that, the Citizens United by the Supreme Court, taking the gloves off of or the limitations off of contributions and allowing people to hide is very un-American.
Can I emphasize that point?
Yes.
Because you're absolutely right. And let me read a quote very quickly. If you have got a minute for that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Here it says exactly the point that you made, but this is in a judicial opinion. It says there are laws against threats and intimidation, and harsh criticism, short of unlawful action, is a price our people have traditionally been willing to pay for self-governance. Requiring people to stand up in public for their political acts fosters civic courage, without which democracy is doomed. And then the judge wrote, "For my part, I do not look forward to a society which, thanks to the Supreme Court, campaigns anonymously, hidden from public scrutiny, and protected from accountability of criticism. This does not resemble the home of the brave."
Beautiful.
Beautiful words.
Yes.
Written by Justice Antonin Scalia. So one of the most conservative justices on our Supreme Court was a tiger in support of full disclosure and full fessing up. If you're going to support a position in the political context, it is part of our democracy that you put your name on it, that you are convinced enough of the rightness of your views that you do so in public.
Or that if your views are shady, then you are willing to stand behind the shadiness and say let's take
responsibility. This is all about accountability and responsibility.
Yeah.
What many people say they're for, we're a country that says you're responsible for what your actions are. You're responsible for your views. That's very fundamental to our law. And yet some very, very wealthy individuals and some corporations, not all, but some corporations, don't believe that. And they want to manipulate in secret. They want to have other people do the dirty work for them and never put their name behind the views that they are supporting.
Yeah, seems really basically wrong. At this point in the show, I want to back up from my a little bit and talk about... we're talking to Terry Goddard. We're talking about his new project as changing the Arizona Constitution, a little amendment that says identifies people that are contributing to campaigns, identifies the individuals, identifies the organizations that are contributing to campaigns. I want to mention that Terry was twice nominated for governor, and that when he was on the in Phoenix as mayor, and on that he pushed to have the Phoenix City Council to be elected from districts by a majority of all voters and citywide. This allowed minorities from certain parts of Phoenix to be elected and represent their home areas by giving those areas a voice on the council. So we make a lot of fun of Arizona voters, at least I do, because they elect people like Ev Meekum and Fife Symington.
Made a few mistakes.
They elected you by 60% as Arizona Attorney General. So when the chips are down, at least occasionally they come through.
And I'm very grateful for that. Let me be very, very clear. That was a wonderful job and one that I'm very proud of having done. But for the current activity, if anybody's interested in giving us a hand, and I need lots of hands to make sure that this proposition actually gets on the ballot so voters can make the final decision, we have a website. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to
please
say about it. It's just very simple, outlawdirtymoney.com. And there's much more information about what we're talking about here today and the chance to simply have us send you a petition if you'd be willing to get us 10 or 15 signatures. That could be a huge help. I think citizens, especially in this time when there's so much bad feeling about government and governance and the system that we live under, they ignore the fact that here in Arizona, citizens have a huge amount of power. And that power is not in the pocketbook. That power is in the ability to talk to their fellow voters and get signatures on a petition, which can make all the difference in the world. That's the right of citizen legislation, which is in our Constitution, has been from the get-go. And I just hope people take it seriously. And I hear over and over again how empowering it is to go out and get your fellow citizens to sign a petition and to get something on the ballot.
OutlawDirtyMoney.com is the website. I went to the website. It's very clean, very simple. I love that kind of website, by the way.
Thank you.
I did go to the page that's as the petition sign-out page. Just, in fact, I filled it out. I wanted to be able to say this morning as I was talking to you, give you my flawless opinion about how user-friendly or not that this website was. And it's very, very simple. A minimal amount of personal information gets you into the allow. Now tell us what happens. Now I sent in the form, I filled it out, put on just like I said, relatively a small amount of personal information.
Did you request a petition? I hope
I requested a petition.
All right. Well, we will literally as quickly as we can. We have Verde Valley and Coconino County and Yavapai County both are representatives. We call them ambassadors, and they're volunteers who have supplies of petitions. And my goal in this campaign is to make sure that nobody waits. If they want a petition, they should get one as quickly and easily as possible, because everything in the Arizona legal system has made it difficult for citizens to do petitions, and we want to do everything on our side to make it easy. So hopefully you will get, either in the mail or by personal delivery, a petition. I hate to give the exact time, because we're all volunteers, but we'll get it to you as quickly as we possibly can. And I hope, you know, my plea to folks listening is, this is easy to do, it's very empowering, and you as a citizen of Arizona can make a huge difference in the future of our state.
Now, let me ask. I held a meeting the other day at the Red Rooster Cafe in Old Town Cottonwood, Arizona, reigniting a Democratic group here in the middle of the Verde Valley in Cottonwood. And obviously, there's a wonderful Democratic group in Sedona. There's a wonderful Democrat group at Flagstaff. There's a wonderful Democratic group in Prescott. We want to have a wonderful Democratic group in Cottonwood, and we filled the room, by the way. There was easily 60 or 70 people there. One of the things that came up was your petition, and I had a person that was a bit outraged that I couldn't just hand her a petition, that I had to come.
Darn.
Go ahead, explain.
Wish
that,
I'd been
please.
There. I would have got her one. You mean it had to come from somewhere else?
Well, somebody was saying that it had to come from your website or from one of your designated people.
Wow. There's no legal requirement. We're trying to keep track of where the petitions are, and therefore they have a serial number on them, but that's entirely for the benefit of our peace of mind. There's an awful lot of anxiety that goes into a petition drive like this, and you want to know as clearly as you can where the various documents are, but I hope that person will go online and immediately request a petition. I know the Democrats of the Red Rocks have a supply, because I left them personally there.
Yes, they gave
when
me
I was
two
in Sedona.
Of them. They said I had to have two of them because that's
well, yeah, that's true. And I made the mistake. I've as you mentioned very, very gently at the beginning of the show, I've been around for a while, and I know that Sedona is split into two counties. I even told somebody driving up that was one of the unique things about a very unique community, and then we passed one petition around at the group and had both Coconino and Yavapai signers. And in that part of Arizona, you have to be very careful, because you need to separate the petitions by county, one for Yavapai, one for Coconino. It's one of those I think silly regulations that we have to live with in Arizona, because the legislature doesn't like citizens to take charge. They don't want those of us who are dissatisfied with the way the state has been run to try to make some changes. Now, let me emphasize, you and I are Democrats, and I hope you have some great ones in your audience, but this is a very bipartisan effort. We have independents and Republicans that are high in the hierarchy that have vetted this petition from the beginning, because I don't think there is any partisan difference. If you care about transparency, if you want to know who's involved, I just quoted Justice Scalia, you know, certainly one of the most conservative Republicans in history, probably, and he believes in transparency, as did Justice Kennedy, the writer of Citizens United. So this doesn't divide on partisan lines. It divides on, you know, who cares about the future of our democracy? Who wants to make sure that young people today can say that with confidence that they're casting a knowledgeable vote? Too many of them tell me, I don't vote because I have no idea who's making these arguments. I don't feel that I have any power because I can't sort out the various advocates that are in the political debate. And that's a very, very telling criticism, and I think we've got to fix it.
Very true. And then thank you for doing that. The name of the show is Democratic Perspective, but this is one of our many, by the way, bipartisan efforts. You know, this is as radical as I like to be. This is a middle of the road show. And this of all the things we've done for the last 6 years, This is certainly as bipartisan as anything we've ever done. This is, like as you just said, this is something that concerns both parties. I want to say that at that meeting I had, that sort of initial inaugural meeting we had at the Red Rooster in Cottonwood, there were 40% Republicans and or non-Democrats there.
Mm.
It was amazing. This had a little bit of social media promotion and certainly email promotion, and people came up and told me how they found out about it, whoever did it, namely Meade, didn't do a great job of promotion, but we filled
there
the room.
There you go, Mike, and you're in the media. How did that happen?
There were 40% non-Republicans. That's how concerned people are about everything.
You know, I find that all across the state, and I hear that it's across the country. Indivisible is an amazing example all across Arizona of people, regardless of party, who have just are sick and tired of the way things are going, and they want to take control. Our revolution, some of the Bernie Sanders people have just sprouted up. I'm not so sure about the Verde Valley, but certainly all over Maricopa County, there are these spontaneous groups who don't really care about party but want to be effective citizens. And I find that the idea of transparency and to make sure that you know who it is that's making these arguments is very, very appealing to these groups who are critical of the system we have today. They think it needs to be fixed. I agree with them in many of those aspects. And we need, especially here in Arizona, could I go into that for just a second? Because Arizona has become the poster child for dirty money in the country.
Please go ahead.
Okay, well, it goes back to Citizens United. You made some reference to that early on when the Supreme Court opened the floodgates for corporate involvement in political campaigns. And Justice Kennedy, when he wrote that opinion, said that he knew there'd be more money involved when they said that corporations were people and money was speech and therefore protected by the First Amendment. But he said the antidote, the one thing that citizens could hang on to, was full disclosure, that they would know at least who it was that was making the arguments. Well, a year ago, Justice Kennedy gave a press conference a speech, and he said, well, I'm sorry, I didn't know how anemic the disclosure laws around the country were when I rendered that opinion. And he's absolutely accurate. I thought that was a very candid thing for him to say. They are anemic and or non-existent. And here in Arizona, our legislature has tried very hard to make sure that people can hide their contributions if they choose to. And so we have the most permissive laws about disclosure in the country, in my opinion. And therefore, many of the dark money artists, the princes of darkness, if you will, have come to Arizona and tried to influence our elections. And in 2014, the first big election after 2010, when the Supreme Court rendered the opinion,
right,
we had the highest percentage of total spending from dark sources, and all of the candidates for statewide office who were supported by dirty money, by money that was not disclosed, won. So that today all our statewide officials but one were elected with dirty funds. That one was the superintendent of public instruction, who wasn't supported by anybody, as far as I can tell. She just won.
An excellent choice, an excellent example. She was, Diane Douglas.
Yeah.
And we're talking about somebody that, at least by a lot of accounts, not just ours, was so unqualified and so unprepared for office, which is
even dirty money couldn't support her.
Well, that's it. And that's the 2014 election. As you just said, and I want to kind of underscore it, everybody that was supported by these gobs of money, we like to think, I don't know, and there's something about the American character, we like to think money doesn't matter. Even Scalia said, as I'm looking at Scalia quotes, that the American voter is smart enough to decipher the messages. I'm not quoting, but I'm paraphrasing. And that is true, but it isn't true if the other side is spending it. Money really, really, really matters in an election. Name recognition and money. I had some poor kid here the other day he's running for Corporation Commission, Jake Bell, I'll say his name. And I was in a broadcaster's mood that day. I said, hey, this is an election, man. There's only two things that matter, money and name recognition. What are you going to do about those? And And he said, well, that's the end of this conversation. But it wasn't.
Well, that's sad, isn't it?
And he had a great comeback. But when in Arizona, we have clean elections, somewhat what's left of it. You ran clean the first time. We still have a little bit of that. So, you know, Arizona is one of those things that are both, you know, the queen of dark money on the one hand, and we have innovative things on the other, and at least a tradition of actually being cutting edge on some things, and clean elections was one of them. Everybody doesn't know by now what was clean elections and what has happened to it and how this works into that.
It's been cut down seriously. I'm proud that every time I ran for office when clean elections was around, that's the vehicle that I used. And it really has a very equalizing impact, and it takes the candidate away from just doing fundraising and actually going out and meeting folks and delivering a message, which I think is what candidates need to be doing.
Right.
And office holders, both of them. We spend way too much time in American politics on the phone raising money from special interests. And the result is astonishing. If you look at the polls in Arizona and around the country, Arizonans believe in a clean and supported environment. They believe in public schools and excellence in public education. They believe in a basic safety net for the people that are most in need and can't support themselves. I mean, those are sort of fundamental values, but you can't find 10 votes for them at Arizona legislature because the kind of dark money, dirty money operatives that we're talking about have a different point of view. And it's that point of view that controls. It's that point of view that makes decisions of the legislature so contrary to what most people in our state believe. And the same is true of Congress and the country. And it's astonishing. And it's one of the reasons why disillusionment, disaffection, outright rejection of our political system is at such a high level today.
And that's it. I mean, you know, these statistics are a little old, but maybe a year by old, I mean. But one in four voters that were registering in Arizona were registering no party preference.
Mm-hmm. Well, the independent is the largest party in Arizona. I mean, by that I mean no preference. In other words, the combination of non-party alignment has overtaken the Republicans and Democrats, and I think that's a statement that people want something different.
Well, that's it. The numbers I'm going to say, 24% Democrat, 28% Republican, and the rest. I used to use the term independent, but it got confusing for folks, and so I'm trying to do no party preferences.
That probably summarizes it best. You're right.
I do want to mention. I want to get back to dirty money and dark money. Terry Goddard's project here for an important one to kind of take back a little power voice from the big money folks that are ruling everything, but at least we can have maybe a little island of fairness in Arizona. If you don't believe us this morning, Terry Goddard on talking to us from Phoenix, my cousin Tino here on Democratic Perspective, Lori Roberts in the Arizona Republic wrote a great column. Linda Valdez in the Arizona Republic wrote a great column. It's been a front page, or at least in the Phoenix New Times. In the last 3 or 4 months, there's been several since Terry announced. There's been lots of ink on this already. Arizona PBS on Horizons, one of my favorite shows. Besides the Journalist Roundtable on Friday, you can catch, if video is your thing, you can go to YouTube and listen to a presentation. And you can find several of them. You can find Terry talking to the Maricopa clubs and whatnot. You can get his. He was here in Sedona the other day making a presentation on this issue.
And one of my favorite newspaper commentaries was from the Flagstaff Sun. When we filed at the end of November for this petition drive, they did it was a very refreshing. I was a little surprised at it. It was a editorial that compared me and Jeff Flake and John McCain, basically saying that Arizona had at least three political figures who were willing to break from the crowd and speak their mind and talk about transparency. In No, that's true. Although I'm not meaning to say that McCain and Flake have jumped on board our proposition. I'm hoping they will, but they've not done it yet. But I thought it was an interesting company to be in, and Arizona has often had the reputation of, as you mentioned a minute ago, on clean elections, for example, going its own way and setting a national standard on citizen reapportionment for legislative and congressional drawing the maps. So because of an initiative, we did that. And I think, and the point I was trying to get to a minute ago was that Arizona is the high watermark for control by dirty money. All but one of our state elected officials were elected with large amounts of it in their campaigns, and most of the legislative leadership got large amounts of dirty money when they were elected. That means we're a test case, and what the Koch brothers and other dirty money operatives are waiting to see is how our state reacts. What do we do about that? Do we just sort of shrug our shoulders and say, oh, that's politics as usual, it's a dirty business, nothing strange here, nothing to see? Or are we going to react with outrage and say this is not the democracy we were born to, it's not the heritage that we were given, and we're going to make sure that we get back to first principles and full disclosure? Now, the first reaction, and I know you have many from the Save Our Schools movement in the Verde Valley, was when the legislature tried to transfer massive amounts of money from public education to private schools, a benefit largely for wealthy Arizonans, a group of very patriotic, in my opinion, citizens called Save Our Schools, SOS, rallied and put that proposition on the ballot. They got what people said could never be done. With all volunteers, they got about 120,000 signatures in 90 days, and they qualified for the ballot as a referendum. And I'm proud to say that many of those same people who reacted with such outrage to the effort to sort of privatize our education system, they're helping me and the whole Outlaw Dirty Money program, because they understand that as long as secret forces can come in and attack the public education, that they will never be safe. They will never have a clear shot at maintaining, supporting, and building public education in Arizona. And so they believe transparency is absolutely critical for their cause, for the cause of public education.
Well, that's it. Save Our Schools is SOS. You can find it on a website that is also close to my heart, Arizona Election, azelections18.com, has the most recent SOS Save Our Schools video talking about just what Terry Goddard has mentioned this morning. The one of the ways they were able to get 120,000 signatures is because education has been so damaged and so attacked in Arizona. And as Terry Goddard also said, that Arizonans aren't ready to give up. They aren't ready to shrug their shoulders. They care. And they turned out and signed petitions like mad for Save Our Schools, and circulated petitions like mad for Save Our Schools, and got this issue on the ballot for November 18. I think the same thing is going to happen to this dirty money, Terry Goddard's dirty money initiative. Now, the initiative process is a wonderful thing, as Terry also mentioned, in Arizona, a direct line from citizens to their government. Not every state has it. Ours was there. The current legislature has attempted to damage it. In what way?
Oh, ways? Boy, have they.
Say it again?
They certainly have. They hate this process whereby citizens can take control.
Yes, exactly. So that's the other reason for making this work, this change to the Arizona Constitution to expose where the money's coming from, because they won't stop here. They won't stop with buying state senators and governors and Arizona corporation commissioners. It has the potential of being unrecognizable, and certainly that's not us.
Let me give you a quick example, Mike. The city of Tempe,
has passed a very commendable disclosure ordinance,
oh, yes,
and has a charter change on the ballot next month in March to authorize it. It has to go to a citizen's vote, as it should. And the legislature right now is trying to preempt them so that Tempe and other cities would not be able to do anything that would require additional disclosure, especially of the vehicle of choice, which are these 501c4 corporations. And it's an astonishing piece of arrogance. This particular statute, among other things, says law enforcement can't issue a criminal subpoena to any of these companies.
Well, that's it. I mean, think about this. You got the state of Arizona, the state lawmakers of Arizona, trying to prevent a city in Arizona from allowing disclosure. I mean, you called it arrogance. I call it corruption. This is arrogant corruption. On a massive, they're not afraid that what people will think when they go after the city of Tempe to prevent them, as they have by way of, Bisbee from making anti-plastic bag laws, for God's sakes. Republicans are supposed to be all about local control, and believe me, folks, this is the last thing they are about is local control, as has been demonstrated in Arizona and other states, but certainly in Arizona, time and time and time again. I want to kind of stick in here that while I'm thinking about it, we want to say thank you to Democrats of the Red Rocks, and please join them for breakfast on the third Thursday of every month. They have some great speakers. Keep you informed. Find out what's going on. They are great supporters of Democratic Perspective. We want to take you to the Arizona Elections 18 website. They are promoting a candidate, Wade Carlisle, who's running against Sylvie Allen. Sylvie Allen is the education chair of the Senate in Arizona, and if you're not satisfied with Arizona elections, certainly her fingerprints are all over this. She's been education chair in the legislature, and she deserves as much as the blame as anyone. And so this organization, this political action committee, has targeted Sylvie Allen and has a great candidate in Wade Carlisle for Arizona Elections 18. We want to remind you also that to keep guests like Terry Goddard, keep their voice on CHASM and 780 AM, we want to tell you we have a website, bvid.org. Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org has a donation button that is it got cobwebs on it and is rusty.
It needs exercise. Is that what you're saying?
That's it. So after you go to dirtymoney.org, say your website again, Terry.
It's outlawdirtymoney.com.
Thank you.
Outlawdirtymoney.com. Hopefully really, really catchy and easy to remember, and that's where you can request a petition.
Yes.
And get additional information about exactly what it is we're talking about today. But I sure appreciate the chance to go into so much detail about a really critical issue facing our state.
It is a critical issue, and the website, you can get petitions there. A simple thing to fill out. You can get petitions at the door office in Sedona, over across from Whole Foods in the same shopping center as Old Sedona Bar and Grill. You can find the door office. It's open 4 hours a day. You can pick up petitions there if you want to, and it's a nice thing sometimes to be able to do it face-to-face. I'll have petitions eventually, not only my own. Maybe I can get a few more.
Michael, we're rushing them to you as we speak.
They're rushing to me. That's right. And I want to mention that if you want to do this in the privacy of your own computer, of your own coffee shop, or whatever it is, that it's real easy to do. Nice, clean website.
Let me make a quick point, though.
Yep.
You can request them from our website. Unfortunately, you can't sign them online.
That's right.
Again, as I said before, and as Michael repeated, the legislature's done everything in their power to make it more difficult to exercise the citizens' right to have an initiative, a referendum, and even recall. And one of the things they require is a live signature. You know, candidates can get signatures online. You know, no problem there. But for an initiative or a referendum, you have to, you actually have to sign the copy in ink, and a live copy, a live version has to be submitted to the Secretary of State or it doesn't count. So, you know, we make it as easy as possible, but the legislature's dedicated effort is to make it as hard as possible.
And that's a good point, too, that and certainly when you get your petition to make it count, we will and counsel you and on being and doing it with care so that the signatures count. And as Terry Goddard mentioned just a minute ago, that in a, we are a bi-county area, at least Sedona is. We're a little more pure over in Cottonwood and Yavapai County. But,
well, let's not get too arrogant about purity. You know, Sedona is a great place, but it does happen to have two counties, and that makes it a little more complicated.
Yes, yes. And so one of the ways we can discount, they can discount signatures is by having them improperly identified. So we want to make sure that...
They just don't count them. I mean, it's one of those, let's say it's an arrogant stroke of bureaucracy that says... If what they will do is they'll send, when the Secretary of State sends them out for verification, they'll send it to the county that has the most signatures on the page. And that simply means the minority signatures will not be counted. It's that simple.
That's it. And that's important. Yavapai County and Coconino County have a great tradition of involvement. We look forward to making our bi-counties the difference in this movement here, trying to get this outlaw dirty money petition drive a success. I think you're going to see lots of things. Now, how long we got, Terry?
Well, we've got until the end of June, but in order to make a volunteer petition drive work, we need to know where we stand before then. If everybody holds on to their petitions until... let's say the middle of June, we're going to have no idea what's going on, and we're going to panic, and there'll be lots of very, very severe stomach disorders. So what I'm pleading with is that folks who get a petition, turn it around as quickly as reasonably possible and send it back to us, or to these ambassadors, the volunteers that are throughout the state of Arizona.
Yeah, you're listening to an experienced petition guy. The thing is, the one thing to get the petitions, another thing to send them back.
That's true. And there's that period of anxiety when you get enough petitions out to responsible people, but you don't know where they stand. You don't know how those individuals are doing with their signature gathering. And
well, that's it.
We need to know. So please don't keep a petition more than, say, 30 days at the very most.
We got about, yes, don't let it sit around. Send it in. If you don't know how to send it in, bring it to me. I'll send it in.
There you go.
Listen, we got...
I'll make you an ambassador. How about that?
This podcast will be at vvid.org. You can listen to this show again at vvid.org. Thanks, folks.
Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZN.